Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm happy to start whenever you're happy to start.
I love it when he puts his headphones on. You know, when we're sitting there and then he puts his headphones on like a pilot.
Just goes, if only he was flying us to Sardinia. Outrageously brown.
Am I?
You are. Ben, isn't Giles outrageous? Ben is nodding.
Am I?
You are outrageously brown.
It's from sitting opposite Claudia Winkleman for 2 hours.
There's no need to brag about yesterday, the fact that you know Claudia Winkleman.
I'm not bragging, I'm plugging. There's a massive difference.
Oh, this is, it's just the way you do it, darling. This,
I know. Imperceptibly to the listeners, they'll go, oh, it was Claudia, that's interesting. And you're you know, ring fencing it too much. That's because Claudia was sitting in this very kitchen. With me yesterday.
In your seat.
Pre-recording, she was rather good. Not as good as you.
No. Let's get this very clear. Claudia is much better than me in every possible regard.
Better than me. And the reason that she was there is that because she's our guest on Desert Island Crisps, because I also have a radio show, and that's on 1 till 4 on Friday, which if you're listening to this on Friday morning, it's obviously later on today. So, and she was here recording her Desert Island Crisps, and really, actually, weirdly, not very orange, because she hasn't been on telly the whole of lockdown. So she's strictly will or will not. She's revealed a little bit about whether it's going to start or not, but they're hoping that Strictly right. will happen. But obviously whether the dancers can touch each other is moot, which will then raise the question of whether they'll be able to shag each other. No, but anyway, so I said Claudia was doing Desert Island. She's not very orange because she's not been tanned. She's not been painting it on because she's not. So I wouldn't have necessarily got suntanned off her glow, which you could.
No.
She was also explaining that she's been that colour since university. So she
the orange thing.
That's literally the colour of Claudia. In the sense that she was born that colour, but she's been painting it on because she wanted to be orange since she was in her late teens.
She's
happens to go on TV. It's not like one of those people who paints it
well,
on.
Well, she started out, I mean, it's tempting with someone like, oh, it's easy with someone like Claudia to sort of feel like she sprang sort of fully formed into Strictly Come Dancing, which is sort of her most sort of famous thing that she's done so far. But she has worked so hard in telly since 92, which was her first show, wasn't it? She's presented a holiday show. Maybe they picked her because she had such an outrageous tan already. I mean, in 92, it also wasn't that easy to go that brown. You had to use a thing called duo tan, which was pretty clunky stuff.
Or Ronseal.
Yeah, yes.
Which did what it said on the tin. And also gave you a tan if you wanted one.
Exactly. But Claudia is properly a proper grafter.
No, she's also, not only that, she was just really, really good. I mean, I'm delighted to be sitting down again with you.
No, you're not.
I am. I am.
Sarcastic.
But she was also, she was not only but funnier and cleverer than you, but she was obviously funnier and cleverer than me.
Yeah.
Which is...
She is hugely, hugely. And I mean, Claudia is really, really can make you cry with laughter. She's very, very funny. And not very many people make me laugh.
So listen to
The
Giles Corran Show at 1 p.m. On Friday, a bit later on, or on Catch Up if you've missed it. And skip the first couple of hours because I'm probably rubbish. Go straight to Claudia.
Right, what's next?
That bit where he plays the music for the coffee.
Great. My cup runneth over with stories for you today, Giles.
I thought you had nothing.
No, I do have something. I was just pretending I hadn't done any homework.
I've got 21 stories.
That's too many. That's too many. You failed to edit your stories. That's what you've done there. No, what I would like to do is say hello to Dave, the driver for Net-a-Porter's premium service, who came to collect some things I didn't want from Net-a-Porter yesterday. And Dave was very nice. He had the bearing of ex-forces. Am I right, Dave? I'm thinking the signalers, engineers. And he came to collect.
He was all in black. He was about 57.
Yeah.
Of course, stockily built. I mean, he's...
He was a proper bloke.
You didn't think he was just like delivering some whoopsie fashion stuff, did you? You thought he'd come to kill you.
I thought he had come to kill me, which is why I'm pretty sure he was sort of ex-forces. And as you know, the army is like my favourite thing. And actually, I shouldn't say that. It makes it sound really weird, doesn't it? But I don't know. Anyway.
No, it's not as weird as if you said serial killers in prison are my favourite thing. Clearly, you write
They're
today.
My next favourite thing. And he said that he listened to the podcast. So I was
He did.
Say,
I was there.
Thank
Love the
you.
Podcast, he said.
Love the podcast. Thank you, Dave, for listening to the podcast. And thank you for coming to get my stuff from Net-a-Porter. Now, the reason that Net-a-Porter and Dave are particularly relevant is because I thought you might like to write about the new shopping rules. And the new shopping rules are that from the 24th of July, which is Monday, the 24th of July, you will be legally required to wear a mask while you are shopping.
Is it not this week already? Because you're not meant to now.
Oh my God, have I got it wrong?
I think, possibly not. It was either the 24th or the 17th. Have you got that?
Hang on, it's the 22nd today, so the 24th is on Friday.
You've been going through those old economists. How old is that one?
It says it's the July the 18th. Anyway.
It doesn't matter. The peg is good. It can be this week.
It's the new shopping rules.
I think that it was this Monday. I mean, I don't shop.
It's possible it's this Monday. Anyway.
Do you have to wear a mask to receive things from Dave?
No, but Dave has to wear a mask to receive things from me, and I have to put the bag at his feet and then step
that
away.
That was yesterday, wasn't it? When Esther was... I'm going to put you in the third person, every time I should. That was yesterday when you were so excited about him coming there and your bag, your Net-a-Porter, that you were advancing towards him with this bag. And he'd already said sometime before, if you could just leave it on the floor there. And you had no ears to me because you never listened to me because of one of the things that lockdown, you've sort of grown skin over your ear holes whenever I'm speaking.
Yep.
And you had no ear. And I was saying, darling, he said, put the bag down. And he'd said about 3 times, put the bag. And you were just advancing on him with these bags.
Yeah.
These were returns, I should say.
Returns, yeah.
Because when in a minute the doorbell goes ping.
No, I haven't. Oh, actually, no, I have.
You see, when in a minute the doorbell goes ping, brr, and then you wander off, and we do that thing where I keep on talking while you've gone, and we hear you, and Ben leaves it in, and the whole podcast gets called Who's at the Door Again. Things will be delivered, but then eventually Dave comes and takes them back. But listen, skipping back to your idea for a column, yes, I can take new shopping rules.
New shopping rules.
Not like some crappy thing from T2. I mean, that sounds...
What? No. What I mean is that, this is bad. I buy too many things. I've got a bit of a problem. But when I buy online, most things go back, okay? So I basically do is spend
including
my money...
all the plastic and cardboard into the sea.
Well, I send it all back to the shop, and they are
they
are legally required to dispose of it responsibly, whereas I am not. So, well, I mean, obviously I do. So what I do generally when I shop online, as opposed to shopping in real life, is I spend my money on delivery costs. I don't actually buy anything because I almost never keep anything. So I buy these things, I try them on, it makes me feel happy for 10 minutes, and then I put it all back and I send it back. So that's kind of how I shop online. In shops, it's a catastrophe. I buy tat from here and tat from there, rubbishy cheap things that I don't really need or want. I'm seduced by the music and the lights and the music and the smells that they pump into shops. Shops are so beautiful, everything's arranged just so. I'm a real sucker for all that. But now I have to go shopping wearing a mask. I'm just not going to go shopping anymore. And this is a good thing. I think it's a good thing generally that people will... Shopping as leisure is going to either stop or be cut by sort of two-thirds. Now, this is terrible for the retail sector, and I'm sorry, my heart goes out to them, but shopping as leisure is a bad thing. We own too many things. Too many things are manufactured, creating, you know, CO2 and all sorts of... It's catastrophic. It's very, very bad, especially cheap clothing. So... And you do not shop as leisure at all. I was stunned when you bought yourself a new pair of running shorts and they arrived the other day.
I did that online.
Yes, but you don't even.
Yeah, no, because what I always do, because the thing about shopping, because I hate shopping so much, and I want it to be over really fast, and I resent spending money on anything because I have such an expensive wife, and I really only have time to earn money and watch you spend it, not to spend any of my own. I go down to Runner's Need on Parkway in Camden, which I still have a little brain blip. Do you get those when you see signs and you think they say something else?
Yes, runner's speed.
I always think it says runner's needed. Runners needed, that dates back to when I was 20 and had no work and had just left university, or 21, 20, and there was a job being a runner in a post-production company, something like that. And that was the thing, what can I do with my ridiculous English degree? I could be a runner. And I used to buy The Guardian on Mondays and look through the media job. I never got it. 2 years, no work. And every time I got the bus, the old C2 down Camden, runners needed. And then I would think, no, they wouldn't have probably made an actual neon sign that said runners needed. And I still think that. It's just like Bluston's Gowns in Kentish Town.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it says Bluston's Comics. Because the font on Gowns looks a bit like Comics.
It does.
And in 1970s and 80s, when I used to go up and down Kentish Town Road into town on buses, and I was obsessed with Comics, I used to, Bluston's Comics. Mm. Oh no, Gowns.
And like Cut Zone. Which where the K dropped off, and now I only think of it as Butt Zone. I think Butt Zone has now changed to something else.
Did you ever think it was? I thought you thought I used to get these shit haircuts there, so you used to call it Butt Zone.
But then the K fell off. So it did look like Butt Zone.
Do you think it did look like Butt Zone?
It did look like Butt Zone.
Given that there's Rio's famous spa, mm-hmm. does finger inverted commas down, lower down Kentish Town Road, and we all know what happens there. On the big swing over the swimming pool, the fact that they only just up the road is Butt Zone, is probably not that surprising.
It's all of a piece. It's Kentish Town at its finest.
Anyway, okay, so I'm going to Runner's Knee. I don't go into Runner's Knee because what happens is when I want running kit, which I just think of as stuff to sweat in, I go and always buy the cheapest thing, stuff on sale. So these trainers, these shorts,
these lime green trainers,
all these sort of exactly,
and these shorts with Butt Zone written all across
exactly
them.
these pink shorts with Butt Zone, which were all made with the fly on the back and the no elastic, but they're only £4, so I'll run in those for 9 years. And then I never want to go running because I feel like such a douche. So I decided to get some really nice, like Nike with long undershorts in them, and they're in a really nice blue. And I bought them online, and that's not interesting.
But really. No, it's fine. But that is the difference between us, is that you do not consider shopping as a leisure activity. And I've really tried really hard not to consider shopping as a leisure activity, and it's bad and it's wrong, and I know that I shouldn't do it. But I'm going to come on to you in one second, but just personally, wearing a mask while shopping is going to stop me from using shopping as a leisure activity. Now, you never have, but there is definitely a piece to be done. It may already have been done. I wonder if you're the person to do it. Is it going to last until Saturday? There is a piece to be done about how this is wearing masks while shopping will kill shopping as a leisure activity, and that is a great thing.
That's a good idea. The new shopping rules sounded shit. That sounded like a big T2, although T2 is a wonderful feature section, the kind of in any general newspaper splash, the new shopping rules by...
Me,
intern
usually.
A, or you.
No, sorry, Intern A doesn't get to do that kind of
intern
stuff.
Intern A
it's
does
me or Shane Watson.
Intern A does the sidebar. But the new shopping rules is just like lame feature. But shops are shit and now they're going to die. Nice and controversial. And I won't put the flips. I won't say anywhere. My heart goes out to the retail sector. I feel sorry for those young people in the north whose only jobs will be... I won't mention them because then people will get really fucked off about them and they will comment below the line about what a bastard I am. And I thrive on that shit.
Okay.
So I will just say all that.
Well, it is. But the fact is that it's environmentally terrible and people just don't
No, shopping.
Stuff.
People ought to be doing creative things. And the idea of like people just sort of slobbing down to the mall. People hanging out in the mall.
Hanging out in the mall.
Thing. Which was used to be a thing that you had people did in America, and now they do it here, going down shopping centre.
Yeah, exactly.
They just go to mug people. That's really all shopping centres are for.
Right.
To eat junk food, to buy things they don't need. Tat, H. Samuel.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. That's jewellery.
It's jewellery, yeah.
But I mean, they only have it
in malls. No, we're not talking H. Samuel, darling. H. Samuel will be fine. We're talking Primark. We're talking Peacocks. We're talking H&M.
What's the one that begins with a Q where everything's made of horrible plastic fibres? Uniqlo?
Uniqlo's not too bad, actually.
The really cheap jumpers. Is that Uniqlo? And you go in and they have millions of them all of one colour and you get put off because they're so many.
I quite like Uniqlo, actually. Uniqlo's all right.
Is that the really cheap fleece place?
Possibly.
Is it? Nobody knows?
Well, there are lots of very cheap fleece
places. There's one, I saw the people, and I saw this ad and they were only like £9 and they didn't realise. And you go into Uniqlo, or I do, having never really shopped ever, and there's all these things and they're really brightly coloured because they're so synthetic and I don't normally wear synthetic things and, you know, it's a different colour. You don't get that with cotton. And everything's so bright and you pick one up and it's marvellous. And then in most shops you have to go, do you have that in a medium? But Uniqlo, there's 700,000 of them in a medium on the wall and they've got so many of everything that I can't bring myself to buy it.
Well, the thing is that you're a very good shopper in that you buy very expensive clothes not very often, but you treat them incredibly badly. So you have all these beautiful cashmere sweaters that you just sort of... you just sort of wipe up tea spills with them and sort of mop your brow with them and then sort of scrumple them up and sort of jam them down the side of a sofa. And then you go, oh, my jumper's got a hole in it and it was really expensive. I'm like, yes.
Well, I haven't my Uniqlo jumper. For 10 years, though.
That's not true. Just, darling, don't tell lies. That's just not true that you haven't bought a cashmere jumper for 10 years.
8 years.
Is it because your mum gets you one every year for Christmas?
No, she actually gets me one about every 6 years. I've got two identical grey cable knit Ralph Lauren cashmere things.
And astonishingly, they are still, you still got them. I mean, you just sort of leave them lying around. You're like that. You're like the Anna Wintour figure in The Devil Wears Prada, who just uses those Hermes.
Not really thin and mean and successful and rich.
That too, but also she uses Hermes silk scarves as like hankies and stuff and just sort of leaves them all sort of lying around everywhere. You're like that with your cashmere jumpers.
Yeah. It's not true.
Anyway, look, that's a good piece.
Okay. Shopping as a retail, it just shouldn't happen. And yeah, no, and that's good. And that can be just the whole transaction, the whole can I help you? You don't mean help me, you bastard. You mean sell me some shit I don't want.
Right.
I've worked in a shop. I can talk about that.
Yeah.
My job as a salesman was to sell people things they don't work.
Yeah.
Try not to laugh when, you know, fat guy buys horizontal stripes and says, have you got anything that goes with this? Like, yeah, not you, mate.
Right, but you had to say that in French, of course, because you worked in a shop in Paris.
Avec les stripes horizontales.
The outgoing, Cochon. One of the outgoing head stylists, Lucinda Chambers of Vogue, she put up and then had to delete a kind of creed de coeur when she was fired by the current Vogue staff, which is fair enough. She'd been there for a million years. She wanted a change of scene. But her outgoing comments were basically about how Vogue and the whole of the fashion industry, all they do is try and find new ways to sell you things that you already have that you don't need. And I really, really try and bear her words in my mind. I'm sure I've got a copy of them somewhere I can give to you. She's like, you don't need, she literally said something like, you don't need a new t-shirt, you don't need a new sweater, our job is to make you think that you do.
I think this is a brilliant column. I don't even think we can stop that right there, end the podcast. The fucking doorbell!
What is it?
Sorry to shout, I've scared the kittens. It's just absurd, unless it's someone with my cat. That's such a loud doorbell. They'll think it's a sound effect.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
She literally said she wasn't getting any deliveries today. No, I'm not getting anything. Won't be anything useful like an Ocado delivery.
This is so sweet, okay? So what I have in my hands, everybody, is a package that has come from the house in Norfolk that we just stayed in, where Giles left almost all of his clothes in a drawer. So when I say...
So shut me, see what I left.
When I say you just shed your clothes like you don't care,
Giles,
I mean
Squire.
It.
This is just Squire. As satisfying as when... Esther gets her packages of all her new things. I've been sent a package, but it's my things. Oh, have they laundered them? Look at that, my running shorts. I no longer need the new running shorts that I bought to replace these.
Yeah, you've got your butt zone ones back.
Yeah, has he washed them? Let me just smell the gusset.
You're smelling the gusset.
No, I hasn't washed them still.
Of course, why would he wash your disgusting clothes?
No, but I'm just saying that I've now bought these shorts that I don't mind you, these are a bit holy. This is so exciting. This is just like being Esther, except they're my clothes that have been sent back from Norfolk.
I love the fact that you would actually prefer to get your own clothes in the post than new clothes.
Yes.
Oh, that was really expensive.
Oh my God, that was hundreds of pounds. My Saint Laurent sleeveless
wife beater.
That I bought
for you, yeah.
How ironic to have bought a wife beater by my wife.
Yeah.
Oh God, lots of really great stuff.
This is
so lovely. Do you remember? Oh look, my Vistula top that DJ Barbecue bought me in Brazil. And when we went a lad's trip to Sao Paulo.
That's Saint Laurent top. I'm glad that one's back.
Oh, and look at my lovely black heel. Now, these are my Bjorn. Actually, they're a bit straggly, aren't they? And look,
that's embarrassing.
They haven't worn out in the gusset, though.
No, but they've worn out of the waistband.
So they're still wearable. There's a little hole in the waistband. But, you know.
It's
And some socks that actually fit. This is like, oh, there's more socks. It's like when you find extra, it's running socks in the bottom of your Christmas stocking, like when it's the tangerine.
You're one of those boys that just because you think that you're handsome, you think you can be just like a disgusting.
You change from just because I think I'm handsome to just because I'm handsome. Which is it?
Okay. You are handsome.
I don't think I'm handsome.
Handsome and revolting. That's with poor hygiene, dubious clothing habits.
That's just so like 28 years of podcasting, which ring fucking hell, what she bought. Finally, I get a delivery, but there's something to be written about there where I get delivered my own actual clothes that I've stupidly
left
in
Norfolk. That's a notebook.
Yeah. There's a notebook piece, isn't it? Good thought.
Yeah, okay, fine. So that's one piece.
Why shops are shit and they're closing and I'm glad? That's really good.
Shut up, we're moving on.
Yeah.
So more identity politics, which I know is sort of interesting. Shall we move on to the sacked lecturer who said that Jews were the cleverest people? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh just then. I don't know why I laughed. I'm nervous about talking about identity politics. It makes me worried. So a university lecturer who was sacked after saying that the Jewish are the cleverest in the world and Germans are good engineers has had his claim for unfair dismissal rejected.
He's not been fired because he said the Jews were cleverest in the world. He said this, it would be funny if he'd said Jews are the cleverest people in the world to a Jew who denied it in 28 different languages.
I'm sorry, I'm not Jewish.
Then wrote an equation for.
I didn't get it because I'm
legal disclaimer, Karen is Jewish and can say these things.
Stephen Lehman.
So have you got some of the other things he said? So this is a guy, generally speaking, I set out my stall quite often in defence of people who, middle-aged people who are getting screwed over by the ever-shifting sands of woke culture. And I try to leave it alone and because I get in trouble, but basically Times readers love it. It's the thing on which I know what side of the fence I sit. Now that I'm off social media, I can get away with writing about it because you don't just get hammered. And I'm fed up with people being sort of defenestrated for not... This guy, on the other hand, has said some things which are a bit... They're a bit sort of 1970s end of the pier Jimmy Tarbuck. They're things he didn't really need to say. He's a university lecturer, insists on talking about how Eskimos are sort of...
Good at fishing, yeah.
We're good at fishing.
He also said something which I didn't see before, which I'm now not surprised that he was dismissed, because it's Stephen Lehman-Beath, 73, a part-time lecturer at Southampton Solent, said that he had a soft spot for young black men because many had absent fathers.
He said that it's not racist, but... And then the things he says do sound consistently racist.
Well, the thing is that he says he thought it was okay to say them because they're all positive, but, you know, racist and kind of racist sort of tropes and sort of...
I believe that the Jewish are the cleverest people in the world. It's oddly saying the Jewish, for a start. Like, I don't really care, but it's not really a thing.
At least he didn't say Jews.
Well, the Jews would be better than the Jewish, probably.
That's really interesting, because on This American Life, Ira Glass has a long conversation. I know you don't like Ira Glass.
Ira Glass.
Professional Jew. I know he has a long conversation with one of his researchers about how she's not Jewish, and she said she thinks that saying the Jews is rude and racist, but the Jewish people... is what you should say. And Ira Glass is in there going,
where is he who is born king of the Jews?
We are the Jews. What do you mean?
Where is he who is born king of the Jews? Famous racist Pontius Pilate.
Right. Oh, well, maybe that's it.
No, look. It's not so much that. It's just that the Jewish are the cleverest people in the world. I mean, I know a lot of thick Jews. A senior academic at Southampton Solent, someone senior to him, who's an engineering lecturer, mentioned she had a degree in physics, and he'd asked her if she was Jewish on the basis that... I asked if you were Jewish because of your ability with maths, physics, etc. The judge said a Jew told they are good at physics because they're a Jew may well consider that as demeaning their personal intellectual ability and hard work. Do you know what I got in physics O level?
Probably an A.
An A. Okay. And I didn't really work at it and I don't like it. I think what I was intent upon doing was getting double A's in English, which I did, and A's in French and German, which I did, and A's in history and Latin, which I did. And then I did physics as well. And it was like, obviously equals MC squared because I did just
is it because
an A. I think it's probably because I'm a Jew. I thought Ken Bruce, Radio 2 Afternoon, the most listened to radio in the world, he says that all the BBC managers should be culled.
Like badgers.
There's far too many managers, they should all be culled. I thought maybe I should call for all the managers at the Times to be culled. Right. I was just thinking about how secure do you have to be in your job to call for all the management to be culled. They're all wasting time. They're all doing, you know.
Sorry, I don't understand. Of your 22 stories, that's the one that you think you're going to write about?
No, I just sort of write a piece saying, good old Ken Bruce calling for that. I hereby call for all the people at the Times Radio and the podcast. I call for Ben to be culled because they...
Anybody who isn't working from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to our new... environmental services worker who is outside, who you stopped and chatted to the other day. Anybody who is not working absolutely flat out for those hours is useless and needs
there
to be culled.
There is a possible column, as you say, talking to our, what did you call him?
Our environmental services worker.
Yeah, so the guy who sweeps our road, and he's new. That might lead to a column, okay? A column about how losing Mo, and bear in mind it could be heartfelt, I can make it funny, but my cat Mo, who he has been gone for 3 weeks. And it's 3.5 weeks now. And I thought I could write about... And I've been everywhere, pacing the streets night and day. The people I've met.
Hmm.
And the relationship I have with them through Mo. And it's that... Now, I used to... The guy who used to sweep our road, I can't remember his name, but I did used to chat to him. And it's not about, oh, I'm middle class and posh, but I talk to road sweepers. Because not always is there that much to talk to road sweepers about. You go, you missed a bit. I mean, it's like, it's not... What are you going to say? Lovely job, mate. Lovely. You could eat your dinner off that. I mean, it's not... It's going to be good. But...
No, human interaction is really important for everyone.
So anyway, so I go out now, you know, so Mo has been gone for quite a long time. It's 3.5 weeks. I know he's pretty sure he's not dead because he'd been gone for 2 weeks when we went, scuttled off to Norfolk for a week's holiday. And the first night we were away, our neighbour across the road said, I've got Mo. I found Mo and took a photograph of Mo. It definitely was Mo. She brought it, but another neighbour found him up the road, Christopher. Brought him to the house and our cat sitter was out. So there was no one to let Mo in, so he went away again. And I wanted to drive back the 200 odd miles from Norfolk just to get my cat because I want him so much. Now, I was glad that he's alive because it means he's not dead, he's not been killed by foxes or run over. I thought I might write part, you know, he's just on holiday. And that's what people say to him. He's on holiday. It's what you say. He's a young male cat. Yes, he's been neutered, but he's a young male cat. It's summer. He's having a great time. And
my personal theory is that he is in a tangled garden somewhere, catching mice and having a whale of a time. And he'll be back in November when it gets cold.
And then what happened was that we came back and another week went by. And then last night I went out looking for him late at night, 10:30 p.m., because that's when he used to be on the prowl. And I got an next morning, this same neighbour had Mo again by email because he didn't have my phone number and I didn't check my email till the morning. So Mo was there. So we know that Mo isn't dead. Mo's around. He doesn't want to come home. I can deal with that. I just want to see him one more time to say goodbye. Mm. I just want to say, hey, Mo, come in, have a dinner, have a cuddle. It's cool. Do what you want. We don't have to own Mo. I mean, we took delivery of Mo when he was 2 months old. We loved him or whatever. But if he wants to go and do other stuff, that's fine.
We love him, so we're going to set him free.
Exactly. And so the column would have two parts to it. One of them would be, I kind of envy Mo. I mean, I've been trapped in this house for 4 months with lockdown. And frankly, we're not really going on holiday. We had a week in Norfolk. We're going to Cornwall for a week, but we're here and trapped in the sense of the kids are here. We have no personal life at all. We have no private life. We have no emotional space. We have no romantic time. I trust I do not have to draw pictures. There are certain things that simply cannot be done, which I suspect Mo's out doing, even though he hasn't got any balls. In fact, he's probably a much better lover because of it. So Mo's out there having a good time. So I could write about, you know, go on, Mo, have a great time. I wish I was with you. I wish I was out there. Living in a tangled garden.
That's a great piece.
Is that a great column?
I love that.
And then, but also, lady across the road, the American lady, Liz, who lives in the beautiful modernist house, the only house in our street that's in Pesna, which was built after the war. Beautiful. I see her. I now know her, which I didn't.
Yeah.
I now know Claudia, who lives in the basement next to her, because Mo goes around there. I know Christopher Neo, the guy who lives up...
I love Christopher.
Christopher's wonderful.
Christopher's amazing. I love him so much.
And I didn't know him. I used to nod him. Now I know he's Christopher. He's the guy who brought Mo back. The people I've met up on the housing estate. So there's a huge housing estate at the other side of the garden.
Karen.
Been here for 18 years.
Karen.
And the point is that it's not like... I mean, yes, obviously we live in the... posh middle class houses. It's a really good, like a cat story, a cat children's story. We live in the posh middle class houses. He wants to hang up on the housing estate because it backs onto the railway track and there's mice and rats on the railway track. But he just loves it up on the housing estate, where I don't go that often. So there's Karen, who's like his auntie Karen, who's up there. He's got one cat who walks the block with her and has dogs. And she's always finding him. And because I've used nextdoor.com, Karen's always texting how he's... I now don't have to go up to the housing estate at midnight. I just text Karen, is Mo around?
Yeah. Well, technically, Mo is not... Mo has two names. You started calling Mo just Mo. Mo's name is Mo Tenzing.
Yes, I know. But when Auntie Karen up on the estate we'd been looking for him a couple of times, and eventually said, "So what's his name then?" I said, "He's called Mo Tenzing." And she went, "Well, we'll call him Mo, shall we?" So I thought, yeah, fine. Even a cat has to have an estate name. It's like public school boys. It's like, right. If you're me, mm-hmm. public school, boarding school boy called Giles, and in the mid-late 80s, you start trying to express yourself a bit and live in London and go out and about and try and talk in a way that's slightly less
take off your boater.
And you go, and you get, exactly, and you want to go and play pool in late night pubs in Camden, having become rather good at snooker in the snooker table in your house, upper house at school. You go in and you go into play and you go and play a bit of pool and you walk in and you say, hello. And you go, watcher.
All right.
You say to the bar, can I play in the pool table? And the bloke goes, yeah, just stick your name up on the board. Mm. And you look at the board, and it being the 80s, they're all called Kev and Keith and Neil.
Jim.
And you go to write your name on the board and you think, and they just shout out, Kevin, you're up next.
Right.
And you go to write your name on the board. And in my case, I wrote John. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on Acast, Spotify, Apple and more. To find out what I wrote about in the end, read The Times on Saturday. There's a link in the podcast description. And for the full live experience, tune in to my new radio show on the all-new Times radio station on Fridays from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.